Hey friends, I'm here back with Brock Allen on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. We're talking about Identity Server. We talked about the introduction. We got a sense of the problem space. Now we're going to get into some code. But before we do that, you've got kind of a really nice interaction diagram that's going to explain to me the interaction between the client, between my code, and the Identity Server middleware.
Absolutely. So Identity Server is not an out-of-the-box product, per se, where it's like an MSI and you install that onto your server. As we mentioned before, the whole point is to provide a framework where you build the product. You're gonna build up your identity, you know, and security token service. So the way Identity Server works is that Identity Server is based on ASP.NET Core. And the idea is that it's delivered via a NuGet package. And it is, in terms of how it wires into ASP.NET Core, is it's predominantly implemented as a middleware. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna host, you're gonna build a host around this Identity Server, grab the NuGet, put the middleware into the pipeline, okay? And the job of the Identity Server middleware is to implement the endpoints for those protocols that we talked about, OpenID Connect and OAuth 2, okay?
And just to make sure I understand this, I'm not necessarily gonna take the app I want to protect and add Identity Server to it. I'm gonna make a separate host because I am implementing a, an STS, Security Token Service. So this is a file new empty web app.
Exactly, that's the idea. We do have some templates, by the way. So .NET Core has some, when you do .NET new, you can actually specify a template. So we actually do have some templates. Visual Studio doesn't yet support them, but I think it will at some point. So within Visual Studio, you could do file new project and actually pick the Identity Server template.
Very cool.
Okay. So yeah, so then the idea is that you have this middleware implementing these protocol endpoints. What's going to happen then is your client MVC application, right, the app that wants to know who the user is, it's going to talk protocol to Identity Server. So yes, it's a separate application from Identity Server. It is going to, whenever it needs to know who the user is, redirect them to log in, just as if you would within your normal app, but we're sending them to the centralized login. So when we send the user to the centralized login, then at that point, the user hasn't ever provided a password, for example. So we need to authenticate them. So what Identity Server does then is it says, okay, I'm implementing the protocol endpoint, but I don't know who the user is, so I need your code to log them in.
Okay, so the actual, to put not too fine a point on it, the text box that collects their username and their password and their whatever, that's me,
that
not
is going
you.
To be you, yes. So when the request does come into Identity Server, it redirects the user one more time to, yes, your custom login page, and this is where you provide all the customizations to satisfy your requirements.
And that's both the, that's the power of Identity Server, is that you can do whatever makes you happy there.
Absolutely. So a lot of times people want to use both an employee login and a customer login. Okay, and so Identity Server, you know, if you figure that out on your login page, you absolutely can do that, and then that will be, you know, delivered back to your application as whichever user logged in. It could be a Google login. Okay, you can even have Identity Server on your login page connect to yet another identity provider. So if you are trying to log in, like you know, Windows users, and those are all stored up in Azure Active Directory, you can have Identity Server sort of chain to Azure Active Directory.
Okay, so I'm starting to understand the power of this. Let's say that I've got a website, it's gonna be a social website, my admins are gonna be Windows Active Directory, Azure Active Directory, because they're administrators, like I'm doing Stack Overflow. But I want my users to log in with Twitter or Google or Facebook.
Or a password.
Or a password itself.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That makes
sense. So that's one of the very powerful use case scenarios of Identity Server.
And those are the scenarios that aren't easy without a security token service.
Exactly. Or without the ability to customize it.
Customize. Well, yeah, that's a good point. A regular security token service off the shelf may not have any customability like that. I can use Twitter as a login.
Right.
But then it's like, do I want my admins to log in via Twitter? I'd really rather they use my existing one.
It really depends on the off-the-shelf product that you're talking about, what it does and doesn't support.
I see.
And how much effort it is to do those customizations, if it allows that at all.
So then the power here is you just write whatever code you want to do the customization.
Absolutely.
All right.
So another motivation for using Identity Server then is, not only can you use whatever identity store or whatever mechanism for authentication you want, but also during that login workflow, you can implement any additional logic around that, that login workflow that you want for the user. So a really simple example is, what if, you know, you have five different apps.
Okay.
They're all trusting Identity Server to log the user in.
Mm-hmm.
And before the user uses any of those apps, mm-hmm. you want them to sign a EULA.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A very common thing. I did that logging into a game recently.
Yeah.
I had to read a whole privacy.
Exactly.
Scroll
right.
all the
Which
way down.
Which no one reads,
thing.
But still. You've checked the checkbox.
I held down page down
yeah.
for a long time.
So you don't want to write that code in each of the five MVC apps.
Good point.
Right? If they're already sending the user to log in at the centralized location, you could have that logic centralized as well.
All right.
Okay, so that's another very common use case. And again, could be EULAs or could be anything else that your business needs the user to do as they're logging in.
As well as sophisticated multi-factor auth types of
Absolutely. That's the other thing, too. Is again, that's sort of the same idea. You don't want to re-implement any of these things in each one of your apps, so you're putting it in one place,
yeah.
and you do it the way you want to do it.
And to your point about microservices, the responsibility of your client isn't to manage that stuff. That is what a security token
Absolutely.
System is for.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do some.
Okay. So, yeah. So Identity Server is going to receive the request, send the user to your local login page. Your local login page will do whatever it is to log them in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to send the user back to this authorized endpoint. The authorized endpoint is the protocol endpoint where the user is shown a UI.
Is this all happening on the glass? Is this HTTP level bouncing around with 302s, or is there any back channel where we're...
So for what we're talking about right here, no, there's no back channel. So mm-hmm. this is just the user in the browser. They went to the MVC app. It first goes to the Identity Server protocol endpoint, redirects you to log in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you log in. When you log in, another point by this is that the way that your login code communicates the identity of the user over to Identity Server is you issue a cookie.
Mm.
Okay? So then, yes, we're doing all these redirects in the browser. The login page redirects back to this thing called the authorized endpoint. Identity Server can read the cookie. We know who the user is, and we will generate the token back to the client application.
Nice.
Okay?
And again, yes. all based on standards.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Very cool.
Okay? So that's kind of a high-level idea about how Identity Server fits in and how you're going to work with it in your application.
Makes sense.
Now, for Identity Server to, again, do all these things for you, you do have to teach it about your environment. You need to teach Identity Server about your applications,
okay.
about your users, and about the identity data that you are protecting of those users. Because think about this, the whole point of centralizing this is that an app wants the user's unique ID and their email,
mm-hmm.
okay? And some other app may want the unique ID of the user and their name. So those are identity information that Identity Server is protecting about the user. So you do have to teach Identity Server about these things.
Okay.
So here's kind of a little picture that shows the relationship between these. So again, our users are using what are called clients. That's like your MVC app.
Mm-hmm.
Those clients are sending the user to Identity Server to authenticate, and Identity Server produces then this protection for your resources. So the identity data and also your APIs.
So if I've got five applications and only one of them needs birthday information, mm-hmm. there's no reason to let that PII, that leak out to the other applications.
Yeah, and that's all configurable and under your control.
All right, very cool.
Okay, so that's the high-level idea here. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. Let's see. And what we have here, just to give you an overview, is we have three projects.
So let's zoom in on that. We've got...
Yep. Oh, actually, let me close that here. So yes, what we basically have is a solution with these three projects. So as we mentioned, Identity Server is going to be hosted in its own separate application.
Okay.
So this is an ASP.NET Core application hosting Identity Server, and it already has the NuGet referenced, but it's basically an empty ASP.NET Core mm-hmm. application. Okay. So what we're going to then do is we're going to have this other app, this MVC app, connect up to Identity Server to authenticate the user.
Right.
Okay, so that's going to be the first step that we're really going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Later on then, this MVC app will invoke a web API on behalf of that user. Okay, so we'll get to that a little bit later. But that's our main goal right now is to set up Identity Server and connect the MVC app to it for authentication.
Okay, so for this module, success is I load up my MVC application, and I click login, I am sent over to Identity Server.
Yep.
And then Identity Server has to make some decision about whether or not it's going to issue a token on my behalf.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
And then it sends the result back to the MVC app, and we should see the user logged into the MVC app.
Awesome.
Okay. So... I guess we'll start with Identity Server because we have to, get started somewhere. So as I mentioned, Identity Server, the starter code, has essentially an empty MVC project. because you're going to be showing some UI, so you probably want to do that with MVC.
Okay.
Okay. I have my startup code. This is where all of the standard configuration is done for an ASP.NET Core application.
Mm-hmm.
So configure services is our standard DI configuration. Configure is the method that configures the ASP.NET Core pipeline with all the middleware.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all the kind of out-of-the-box middleware here. We have static files, and we have MVC and our error handling and all that. So like I said, I already have Identity Server referenced as a NuGet package. So to pop Identity Server into your hosting application so it can serve up those protocol endpoints,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to then use Identity Server. Okay, and that's as simple as that to pop it into the middleware pipeline.
Was it important that you put it before you use MVC and after you use static files?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point, too. So Identity Server MVC, well, actually, it depends on the workflow that you're using. But no, actually, in this case, because Identity Server is listening on a set of endpoints but redirects the user mm-hmm. to your MVC app, then no, in this case, it was okay to put it anywhere. I'm just so used to putting my authentication middleware mm-hmm. right before MVC. That's what
Well, the reason I'm pointing it out is that I think from a gotcha's perspective, if you have something in an MVC app that is a greedy route,
yep.
it might, if Identity Server was towards the end, one of your routes might...
Yeah, no, that is a good point. So yes, typically you do want to stick this in front of your MVC for things like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so the middleware by itself is actually not quite enough because, as I mentioned, we have to teach Identity Server about your clients and your users.
Cool.
So the other thing that this project has is it does have the starter code, like a template code that I mentioned a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
That all lives under this controllers folder, and it has examples or samples for your typical account controller where the user can log in and things like that. So
these came in when you made this with the template?
Yes, when I made this with the template, these got put in here.
Cool.
This is template code to get you started, but this is the code you're going to own, and you're going to tweak and change to satisfy whatever requirements you want.
So it very likely, if not completely likely, you're not going to use it as it is.
Right.
This is getting started.
Again, just to get you started, exactly.
All right.
So as part of my sample code, again, one of the things I had to teach Identity Server about was my users.
Right.
So what you use for your user database, if you will, is entirely up to you.
Mm.
So you could use ASP.NET Identity if mm-hmm. you're, kind of greenfield, brand new identity database.
Sure.
You may have a legacy database of users. That's also a very common thing is that, you're stuck with this old database of users and you're not ready to migrate it away. And you can't import that to
I
some...
I think we've all been there.
Exactly.
Somewhere out there, there's an access to database
exactly.
called users.
Right. So anyway, that's the idea, is that you're going to plug that in.
Mm-hmm.
For my little sample code here, what I've done is I have these hard-coded in-memory list of test users.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea, is that that's my little legacy fake database
sure.
to get started.
But I'm hearing, ultimately, the list of users is responsible. You're responsible for it. It can be a database. It can
yep.
be files. It can be whatever. It's up to you.
Absolutely. Yep.
One thing that I think is worth just kind of getting into a little bit is you said, and you can use ASP.NET Identity. Maybe
yes.
you could talk a little bit about the relationship between Identity Server and ASP.NET Identity, because some
right.
people might have thought, well, wait, is one replacing the other? Are they complementary?
Yes,
or is one?
And they're both using the word identity, so
right.
obviously that can be confusing. So fundamentally what ASP.NET Identity is, which is the framework for Microsoft that was built in part of ASP.NET Core,
mm-hmm.
is it is a framework or a library for managing the database that contains your user's authentication information.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly that's a password. Okay. It also does many other functionality in terms of things like email confirmation, two-factor authentication, mm-hmm. verify your mobile phone number, things like that. But I think of ASP.NET Identity as simply a library that talks to your database that holds your users.
Okay, which is one more thing I don't have to write.
Absolutely, and that's another perfect example. Writing that kind of library and doing it securely is also really, really hard. So the ASP.NET identity library in ASP.NET Core does a really good job of all those things.
Okay.
Okay.
But it doesn't do OAuth 2.
It doesn't do these security protocols.
Security protocols.
Okay. So the other thing then is the database of users, you're going to build this login page that does that check. That code, like I said, has to communicate to the identity server side of things, and there's also a cookie involved there.
Mm.
So the login code is going to be using the cookie authentication middleware to talk to identity server. So actually, that's another thing that that we're going to be adding here. So identity server adds the cookie authentication middleware as well to your hosting application.
Okay.
If you want to take control over that and add it yourself, you can. Okay, not a big deal. But anyway, cool. That's another thing that's in here. Okay, so yes, our login page, it's going to issue a cookie. Our demo code here is using these test users. So as I was trying to build up here, too, is that we need to teach Identity Server about all these different things.
All right.
So the other half of Identity Server, if you will, is configured via the DI system. Identity Server provides...
dependency injection.
Exactly. It provides a bunch of services that are available in dependency injection.
Mm-hmm.
So just like MVC has added, they have a little extension method. We have an add Identity Server extension method that will wire up the core services, and then you are going to call some extension methods on this to configure some of the other things.
Okay.
So, like I said from my earlier picture, we have to teach it about your users, your clients, and the resources that it's protecting.
Okay.
So there are various extension methods that we're going to call. Now, Identity Server, as I mentioned, is very flexible and it's designed for extensibility. So there's going to be a bunch of configuration data that Identity Server needs, and we don't mandate where you store that data.
Hmm.
Okay, so the list of your MVC apps and the list of your APIs could be in a database, or could be in a JSON file, or you could even hard code it in your application.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an extensibility point that you could implement to go load that information wherever you have it. The extension method I'm about to show you is registering our in-memory store for this configuration data.
The one of test users?
Yes, test users and the clients and our APIs.
Okay.
So what we have is we have add test users.
Now test. Add test users, did you write that?
Yes, this is our extension method that is just hooking up to this in-memory list of users. Okay.
And how is it doing that? Like, I feel like that's... We don't want to gloss too far over
sure.
that. Did add test users come with Identity Server for the purposes of initial testing?
So in Identity Server, when it's issuing these tokens, at some point your app might say, I need the email of the user.
Right.
So Identity Server needs to query something to fetch the email.
Right.
So that's an extensibility point. Okay. So that extensibility point is basically saying, hey, I need the user's email, and your extensibility point would return that.
Right.
Okay. So this, it's an interface that you would implement.
Yes.
Okay? So if you stick that interface into the dependency injection system, we find your implementation.
Makes sense.
This extension method I'm using here is registering an implementation of that interface that is triggered off of this in-memory set of users.
Okay.
Okay? So there are a couple more for the other
sure,
ones
sure.
here. So
I'm just trying to understand that in a real scenario, add test users would go away, and I would
exactly.
write something else.
Yes, you would implement what's called our iProfile service.
Okay.
Okay, and that's to load user profile data.
Okay.
So we have similar ones for adding clients, add identity resources, and add API resources.
And
so I'm going to talk about these.
Would you recommend when people get started that they do add test users as they are building up, and then they remove that and swap? You know, like, should they start with all these in-memory examples and these test users, and then slowly remove them?
That's actually a good point. So yes, what we typically recommend is you start with all this in-memory configuration to reduce all the variables.
Moving parts.
Exactly. And you'll start to get a feel for how Identity Server works and how your app can wire up to it, which is exactly the demo that we're building here.
Right.
But yes, once you get more comfortable with that, then you're going to decide, oh, I want to plug in my real user database, and that's where you'll replace this with your own.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I'm trying to get my head around this because we're going to get this working, but it'll all be fake and in memory and test. And then the next step would be to remove add test users and swap out something real, remove in-memory clients and swap out something real.
Yes, exactly. Okay, and that's another thing is that if you do move away from this in-memory hard-coded configuration and want to use a proper database, we have we've already implemented the interface on top of Entity Framework.
Nice.
So you could just pop in our Entity Framework implementation and then just basically configure your connection string and go from there.
Cool.
Okay, so for now, my hard-coded in-memory config, I have in this config.cs file. Okay, so I have some APIs to load from my configuration system.
And again, that can be anywhere.
This could be anywhere, and you would implement the extensibility point.
Makes
so
sense.
For loading clients, there's an interface called iClientStore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you would load them from the database rather than this hard-coded list. So the configuration data that I'm about to fill in here is our object model for our configuration system.
Okay.
Okay. So we've defined what a client is. We've defined what an identity resource is. We've defined an API resource.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did implement your own, your implementation would load the data from wherever, but you would have to return our object model so that we can operate on that data.
Of course, okay? Makes sense.
Okay, so that's what I'm gonna do in here is I'm gonna, right now they don't return anything, but just to pop these in here, I'm gonna do config.get clients, config.get identity resources, and here I'm gonna do config.get API resources. So just to fill those in, mm-hmm. even though they're empty, and we're not gonna do our API quite yet. Okay, so there's one more thing I need to configure, and I do understand there is a bit of a learning curve here trying to get your head wrapped around
this. And we're
going
to do our best to unpack it.
Okay. So the last thing is, I remembered identity server issues tokens, mm-hmm. okay? And we said that those are JSON web tokens.
Right.
And those are secure in the sense that they are digitally signed, okay? So to do a digital signature, you need to have key material,
mm-hmm.
okay? So identity server needs to know what your key material is going to be.
Okay.
A lot of times what people just use is a self-signed certificate, okay? Because it has a public and private key pair.
Sure.
So I have installed already on my computer a certificate, mm-hmm. okay? It's, again, you can use make cert. It's just a command line tool. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to tell identity server that that's the certificate to use. So in my Windows certificate store, I have a certificate with the common name called STS.
Okay.
So I'm just telling identity server that's the certificate to use. Okay, so that's all this configuration for now.
So just to be clear, though, the make cert you got from where? You got part of the Windows SDK?
Yes, make cert is provided part of the Windows SDK.
So you install the Windows SDK, you have that make cert, and then you have the common name for that. You named it STS.
Yep.
So you made that cert, and you installed it with the cert manager.msc.
Yes, exactly. Yep, you use MMC. You pull the snap in, I think is what mm-hmm. they're called.
Yep.
And it's the cert.
Just wanted to make sure that everyone understands how to do that.
There's also PowerShell commands mm-hmm. to do the same thing.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's another option.
Is this under personal? Like if you run right now cert mgr.msc, load up. So there's your certs.
These are under my local computer because what's going to happen is eventually when you deploy this to a real environment, it's going to be running as a system account.
Oh,
you want this available
to the
machine. Not specifically to my user.
Okay,
so yes,
that makes
and actually,
sense.
Here's my certificate right there.
The STS.
Okay,
excellent.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right. So that's the certificate I want to use for all of my tokens.
Mm.
Okay. So now back over here in my config, this is where we're going to fill in all of the other details. So I'm going to have an MVC application, and so I need to create a client in this configuration system to model it. So I'm going to create something called a client. Clients are identified with what's called a client ID. It's just a unique identifier, string. You give it a human readable name or you mm-hmm. generate a GUID, whatever.
So you're doing this client, you're putting this client in the host for identity server.
Yes.
That means it has to know about all clients. You can't have an unknown client?
Correct. You want your token server to know about your clients ahead of time.
Okay.
If you've ever set up Google logins,
sure.
you've done the exact same thing. Right?
When you go in and put in an app and you create a new app, they give you a code.
Yes, this is the exact equivalent of that scenario for Google.
Okay.
So you have to teach the token server about the consuming app, and that's exactly what this
is doing. So in this case, you're hard coding it. That could come from a database,
exactly.
And you could invent that thing where people inside of your company could go and register themselves
Absolutely.
As clients.
Absolutely. So you could build a UI for your customers to come to you if they wanted to integrate, or exactly within your own ecosystem.
Which makes me, I'm going like from step A to step G here, but if I have a web API, then I could go and create all kinds of user interfaces to allow people to use my web API to
yep.
register themselves as clients in a secure way.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So that's the MVC application.
Yep. So there are a few more things in here. We're going to give it a name. So this is my MVC demo. We are going to configure what's called the allowed grant type. And again, my apologies, there is some more complexity that we have to talk about here. So OpenID Connect, as I showed in the very initial picture, we mm-hmm. have lots of different types of apps. We have server-side apps, SPAs, native apps.
Right.
Okay. So what these protocols have is what are called flows, and the flow is a description of the type of application and how that application is going to be communicating with the token server.
So the interaction model for that.
Exactly.
Like when I was asking you before, are we going to be integrating on the glass? Are we just going to bounce around
right.
at the URL level?
Right.
Or might our interaction be different if we were an iPhone app?
Correct. Okay. So that's the idea here is that you have to teach identity server about the type of app that is going to be connecting, and that's what this thing called, in the spec, they call it a grant type.
Hmm.
Okay?
The interaction model makes sense. The name of calling it grant type is not intuitive.
Yeah, and the caveat I'll say here is that if you are using a paid hosted product, mm-hmm. you're probably doing that because you want to know nothing about how the security works.
They've hidden a lot of it from you.
Yeah, and if you're building identity server, I would highly encourage you to read the spec so you know what you're building. Mm. So that, unfortunately, you know, you have to know how this protocol works.
So what does implicit imply?
So implicit means that right now that my client, mm-hmm. the way it communicates with the token server, will only be through the browser right now.
Okay.
You had mentioned a back channel call.
Right.
We'll do that a little bit later, and that'll change this configuration. But for now, we're doing baby steps.
Makes sense.
Okay. So the next thing we need to know is what is called the redirect URI. That's basically the URL of your MVC app where it gets the results.
Hmm.
Okay?
And I've done this before too, even when I've made local host apps for Twitter.
Yeah.
They want to know, I'm sent you over to Twitter, how do you get back?
That's exactly what this is.
Excellent.
Okay? I actually don't know off the top of my head what my MVC app is hosted on, so I will go and get that URL real quick. So it looks like my file new project created that URL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna pop this in. Now, we don't wanna send the user back to just any place in the app, so it turns out that in the MVC app, we're gonna want a designated like landing place for the user. So, and in the MVC app, the component that we're gonna use to communicate with this protocol, there is an OpenID Connect middleware that will be put into the MVC app.
Okay.
It defines this path.
Is that an identity server piece of middleware or an ASP.NET
so
piece of middleware? So
that middleware, the OpenID Connect one that the MVC app will be using, is from Microsoft.
Cool.
Okay? Okay.
And you've just put it at sign-in-OIDC. Is that a known thing, or did you just make that up?
That is the hard-coded path in the OpenID Connect middleware. It is
from Microsoft.
From Microsoft. It is configurable, though.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, one more thing is I want to configure what's called the allowed scopes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scopes are the are labels for the resources that identity server is protecting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so an example of something that you might want that the identity server is protecting is the email of the user.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so scopes are basically saying these are the resources that your identity server is protecting. And the client can request certain types of identity information about the user.
Okay.
So this is basically setting up an allowed list. Remember, you said a second earlier that maybe one app should be allowed to get the user's age or birthday,
right,
but another app should not. And that's kind of what this is doing.
So identity server is going to know ahead of time that this client,
yes,
the scope of its interest in this user's resources,
exactly,
is limited to these things.
Yep. So actually, before I fill these in, that's the other thing to fill in here is you have to teach identity server about the total set of resources it's protecting.
I see. Okay? All the things it could ever tell anyone about me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's what this thing called identity resources are. The OpenID Connect spec defines ahead of time a few of these already.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one called OpenID, which means it's your user's unique ID.
Right.
Okay? So that's the most important thing that an app is going to care about.
It's a URI or a GUID or something that describes the user.
Yeah. It's an opaque string, but it's going to be the same value when that user logs in again and again and again.
Okay.
Okay? In the .NET terms, that turns into what's called the subject claim. So the subject identifier, that's the unique ID of the user.
Right.
Okay?
All right.
So we might care about the email, so the spec defines email. There's also something called profile, which actually maps to like several things about the user. Their display name, their username, their first name, their last name, their URL, things like that.
Yeah.
You can invent your own. Okay? So if you're talking about a scenario where maybe your employees are logging in, I might want to know identity information about the employee. So we might have a new identity resource here, and the name is going to be your office location.
Oh, interesting. So you've got identity resource as a type, and then in this case here, it's just name value pairs. It's an anonymous type.
I'm sorry, say again?
I'm trying to understand how you're making identity resource. Is name and user claims properties inside of identity resource?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
so these are the properties on our configuration
model. What if there are ones, I see, and if there's ones that don't fit, you put them in user claims?
So what this is doing is we are saying that, hey, for my users, they have office information.
Mm, okay? Gotcha.
My app might want to know about that. And when it asks for this thing called office, we are going to give it claims about the user. Mm-hmm. So that might be the office number and, you know, the building, sure. I don't know, the cube number and things
whatever.
Like that.
Totally okay? open-ended.
So, for example, actually, in our test users, I don't have this right now, but let's go hack this up. So I'm going to have my user Alice and Bob. They're going to be logging in. And here's okay. some identity data about them.
Sure.
So they have a name and a you know email and so on and so forth.
Right.
So
and those are all, I'm noticing you're using JWT claim type, so that, yep. that they're limited to that enum. But here you're using a name value. Pair.
Yeah, so the claim type here, these are just strings.
Ah,
okay. So these strings are whatever you want them to be.
Nice.
And the OpenID Connect specification, as I mentioned earlier, predefines a bunch of this data, like email and your name and things like that.
So these are well-known claims.
These are well-known
claims. Yours is your own.
And then this is custom for you know your scenario.
Okay.
So we're in building 25 today. So we're in, oh no, sorry, not office number. What did I call it? Oh, I did call it office number. Okay, good. So we're in building number 25. Good enough.
Did you need to put a comma after that?
This is just a collection of strings.
Back on the other one, I was just thought I missed it.
Oh, you're right, I did.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, that's pair programming. Good. All right.
I've added my value today. Good night, everybody.
All right. Okay, cool. So there's some custom identity data, maybe for your scenario, for example. Okay, so the point is we have these things that we're protecting. This application, maybe it's your MVC app, so what I'm saying is here, yes, allow this app to get the user's unique ID. Mm-hmm. Yes, allow this app to get this user's email. And yes, allow this app to get the user's office information.
This is a nit question, but is it appropriate that those be magic strings, or should you use some of the existing well-known
yeah.
structures you have?
Absolutely. So usually what we recommend people do is put these into constants, mm-hmm. okay? And so that's what you might use down here.
For like office.
Yeah, for perfect example. And cool. even the claim types here as well, sort of like what we, you know.
Yeah, you could spend a day looking for misspellings.
Yes, there. Exactly. No, nope, you're absolutely right.
Is it case sensitive?
Yes, it will be case sensitive.
Okay, okay. Good to know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So I think that's like about all we need right now for the client.
So we have users, we have things that they claim, we have things that we know that we need to protect.
Yeah, and we have our little database of them.
Do we have the OIDC part that is going to come back, we're going to bounce back over to the MVC application?
We haven't touched the MVC app yet.
Haven't touched it at
okay,
all.
Okay, so we're going
to
do that
only an identity server.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
And then our login page.
Oh,
which
yeah. Do we have a login page?
We do have a login page. So that's under this account controller. This mm-hmm. is, again, the thing that comes from our templates.
Okay, so we got a login page that was like for free because
yes.
we used the template when we made the identity server.
Yep.
But totally configurable up to us.
Yeah, and so if you cruise through here, I don't want to spend too much time on this because this is code you probably would change or remove.
Sure.
But the idea is it's a standard account controller. It's going to have a login action method. It's going to have one where you post back the username and password. And the default code here is checking the in-memory test database
right.
for your users.
Sure. And you
okay.
make these look however you want them to look.
And then the views, yes, the views are actually under the views folder. And mm-hmm. as you can see, there's a login and a logout and so on and so forth.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. So, yes, we got past the hurdle of some of the confusing and complicated configuration settings. And that's where, again, like I mentioned, you're going to have to understand how these things work. To some extent, the names that you were commenting about,
mm-hmm.
these are coming right from the spec.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you know about the spec, the more you'll understand what
is this like a 90-page spec I have to read? Or
unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are actually several.
Okay.
Okay.
But you really do recommend that our viewers and the people who are interested in this space spend some time
learn more about it.
Yes.
Learn more about
Don't
it.
Don't do this blindly.
Yeah, and that's another good point. Is that on our identityserver.io docs website? We have quite a bit of documentation about this,
mm-hmm.
And we also have quick starts. So these quick starts are actually, step-by-step walkthroughs, basically what I'm showing you here.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, you want to take more time and do this on your own, we have lots and lots here. This is where, you know, getting you started. We have one protecting APIs. We have one that actually uses ASP.NET identity in here, if I can see. So we have templates that are getting everybody kind of jump-started.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. Great. So we have our identity server set up. Let's run it and see
Does
if it works.
Does it compile?
Yeah, that's a good point. I've written this code enough that I think I might have it down by now. There we go. Okay,
Excellent.
It does compile.
Nice. Ship it.
I will run this. And I'm actually running.
So what are you running? You've got three projects there. Which one are you going to run multiple at the same time?
Yes. Or? So what I'm doing is as I select a different one, it's going to launch that particular one.
Okay.
Okay? So I just launched Identity Server. We happen to be running out of the console app.
Right.
We've configured Visual Studio to do it that way. So here it is. What's nice about this mm-hmm. is when Identity Server or when you misconfigure Identity Server, Identity Server will complain. Mm-hmm. The UI you won't see much, okay? Because you don't want to leak information to an attacker or an end user. So Identity Server heavily utilizes the logging system in ASP.NET Core.
Nice.
So when there's an error, you go to the logging output and it'll be right there.
Excellent.
Okay. So I'm sure I will screw something up, but we'll hopefully look for it here.
No, that's good.
So that's why I like running the console. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if you're running an IIS Express, sometimes hidden,
hard
and then if
this.
You use a log file, you'll have to go find that. Okay, great. It's up and running. Did my browser come up? Oh, it did. Here we go. So we just have a little simple homepage saying hello. It's more for developers, but again, you maybe even remove this when you move to production.
Cool.
Okay. One of the things to prove or test that Identity Server is really kind of properly configured is in OpenID Connect, mm-hmm. There is one of these other specs is something called the discovery specification. So mm-hmm. the idea is that there's a whole bunch of information about this token server that your app is going to need to know. You're going to need to know what URL to send them to send the user to.
Okay, let me guess. Is there some well-known places where I can poke at it and it can tell me about it?
So it's funny that you even say it that way because that's exactly what the spec calls this. This is the well-known endpoint.
Ooh.
If you even look in the browser.
It's called the well-known.
It's called well-known endpoint. There you go. Right?
Nice.
So the idea is that this is a JSON document that your MVC app will query to figure out things like what URLs I want to send
okay,
the user
so it's
to.
The description language.
It's absolutely. It's kind of like the WSDL, if you will, of your token
I'm
server.
I'm glad that you said that, not me.
Exactly.
and there's nothing here that's private. This is really just exploring the space.
Exactly. So the one endpoint that I mentioned earlier is called the authorize endpoint, mm-hmm. and that's the one that we're going to see the user go to here in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just want to make one comment from a specifications perspective.
Yes.
It's not necessarily, if I understand correctly, that the spec describes the shape of the URLs. Does it just describe those terms on the left, and the URLs are up to the implementation?
Correct. This is a very restful sort of interface, if you will. So yes, they define the property names here, mm-hmm. and then yes, what you put in for the URLs, that's up to you.
Okay.
So that's your implementation details. So Identity Server, under the connect path, we do authorize, and we use connect just because it's OpenID.
So if I were using some, I don't know, I've never heard of it, but let's say there's some PHP Identity Server out there, mm-hmm. it might have a totally different URL structure.
Correct.
But its well-known location would describe these this way.
Yeah, so what you always know is relative to the base address of the token server, mm-hmm. wherever that is. It could still be hosted under subpaths.
Right.
But relative to that base path, you can go find .well-known/openid-configuration.
Cool.
Okay. The other important thing that's under here is, remember I said that there's tokens that mm-hmm. are signed. Mm-hmm. Your app, when it receives them, needs to validate them.
Against
what? Well, that's the key material. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that's in these documents, right? In these well-known documents. So this is actually my RSA key that I had configured in Identity Server. If you recall, remember in Identity Server, I did.
So if you had not put that CN, the common name equals STS, if that had failed when you visited that,
you're not going to
see a problem.
Yeah. Yep. And if I recall correctly, I think we even throw an exception if you haven't configured
you
even get that far.
Cool. So at this point, you've done the smoke test.
Yes. That's exactly the point of showing this to you is just to make sure I got it right, that I actually configured this properly.
All right, cool.
So yeah, that's the key material. This is the public key material,
by the way,
not the private key.
This is an unauthenticated endpoint, and it's totally fine. I suppose we could probably go poking around on Twitter or other places and see their well-knowns
Absolutely.
As well.
Azure has one as well. Yeah, you can go look at theirs.
Cool.
Exactly. Okay, so that's all well and good. So let's close this down and let's switch to my MVC app.
Excellent.
Okay, so my MVC app now, this is a pretty much out of the box empty MVC project.
Cool.
So what we have is the standard startup here. Okay, so again, this looks very much like the other one did. Mm-hmm. A little bit of MVC, some logging, static files, and MVC.
Cool.
We don't have anything security yet.
Have you added any NuGets or anything custom?
So yes, I do have the NuGets for the two main things I need. One is the NuGet for the OpenID Connect middleware that the MVC app uses.
Right.
So that's a piece of middleware that will know how to redirect the user to the authorize endpoint in mm-hmm. Identity Server, get back the result, do all the token validation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once that handshake is done with the token server, you need to keep track of the user within the MVC app. Mm-hmm. So you also need to issue a cookie. Mm-hmm. So those are the two middlewares I have, is the cookie authentication middleware and the OpenID Connect one.
Okay.
All right. So let's add those guys in. App use cookie authentication.
Okay. And that's what Microsoft.
This is absolutely. This is Microsoft's cookie authentication middleware.
Okay.
You have to give this guy a name. So cookies seems like a good name. And there are other properties on that, controlling the cookie, how long does the cookie live, mm-hmm. properties
like that. Does that name matter?
This name matters in that when I need to identify the fact that I want to use the cookie middleware, yeah, that name matters. So in other words, we're going to have two security middlewares, the cookie middleware and the OpenID Connect guy. They're mm-hmm. both security middlewares, so you need to give them a name, in essence, is what that's doing.
Okay.
So, app.use OpenID Connect authentication.
Okay, so what NuGet package did that come out of? I'm sure I can find the cookie one. I think I might have more trouble finding that
so
one.
So they both actually come out of very similar names. It's Microsoft ASP.NET Core dot authentication dot cookies and dot OpenID Connect.
Nice. Okay, we can see it in dependencies.
I'm 99% sure. Let's go check this guy out. So this is actually going right to
authentication.openid connect
hey,
and cookies. Excellent.
Okay.
All right, that's good to know.
Good. Okay, so this configuration over on the client side is where it kind of needs to match the configuration I did on identity server for this app. So we need to do things like, the first thing is, what OpenID Connect provider do we trust? That's something called the authority. It's mm-hmm. basically the base address of identity server.
Okay, so on the other side, we told it about a client called MVC.
Yeah.
Now on this side, we're giving it the well-known, the now well-known URL.
Exactly.
And you're setting that one on 5,000, and of course you had another one on this side.
Yeah, and that's because identity server was listening
it started
at
up on 5,000.
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay. All right, now we're doing local development here, so we're not going over SSL.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opt-out for a security check here. So I'm saying, yeah, I know I'm running local development
right.
testing.
And I'm sure that we could do self-signed localhost stuff if we found
it. Yeah, yeah, we're fine without
worry
that
about it later.
Local host. Obviously, when you go to production or even staging or QA, everything should be over HTTPS.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, so that's a little bit about the token server we're using.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say, okay, well, who am I? I'm the MVC client.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what I want to do is indicate at the protocol level what it is I want back from the token server.
Okay. So the token server had that list of claims which was comprehensive.
Yep.
And on this side, you just want the couple, three or four things you want.
So yeah, so that there are actually two different things we're setting. That's one of them. That was it's the thing called a scope.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I want is, remember I said that the token server could issue multiple types of tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I just want the authentication token. So that's this property that I'm setting right now. Is I'm saying I only want that. I'm not yet calling an API, so I don't need the access token.
Okay. You're proving that we are who we said we are, but we're not going to go and figure out my office and all of the other information. That's
no,
later.
This will give me the user's identity information.
Okay.
I'm just not yet able to call an API on their behalf.
Ah, okay.
That's what I'm not yet doing.
That's an important distinction.
And then the scope are the corresponding scopes that I had talked about before. OpenID, email, and office. Oh, I am missing one more property, okay? So this is telling the middleware who it is I trust
mm-hmm.
to tell me who the user is.
Right.
Okay, here's my information.
Right.
I only want authentication right now, no API access.
Okay.
And this is the information about the user I want.
And will they give it to us all at the same time?
Yeah, that will all be packaged into the ID token as claims. Okay. So the last thing is, this will deal with all the handshake protocol work with the token server.
Nice.
Once we come back then, remember I said, though, we do have to issue a local cookie.
Right.
So I need to wire up this middleware to that middleware.
Okay.
And that's with a property called sign in scheme is cookies. So when you asked earlier about is the name important,
so
that's
if I
important.
Said Fred...
Yes.
That would need to say Fred.
This is Fred, and that's Fred.
Okay.
Exactly.
So they line up.
Yep. Okay. I think that's all the plumbing here we need.
This is going to be exciting if it works.
Yeah. Now, the one last thing is actually, if I run this now, right now, I just want to show you what the homepage looks like.
Sure.
So we have a really empty MVC app.
This is the default Bootstrap?
Yeah, it is with Bootstrap, the default code. I got rid of all of the other starter HTML
sure.
to trim it down. So login link. right. that says, hey, go get me logged in. So what I'm going to do is right now on my login link, okay, this doesn't do anything. So that would blow up.
It would blow up.
So what I want to do is I want to use a method called challenge. What challenge says is challenge the user, which means go get them logged in.
Where is that hanging off of?
Okay. This is a method from the controller base class in MVC.
Really?
Yes. It's creating a challenge result object. Mm-hmm. So that would be a different way to call it.
Sure, sure.
And the challenge result under the covers is actually calling a method on the HTTP context.
Mm-hmm.
Context.
EXT.
T, thank you. T-E-X context. On this thing called the authentication manager. This is what allows you to talk to the security middleware.
Right.
And there's a method called challenge.
Okay. So challenge is the convenience method that's on the base class controller.
So this is like the lowest API. This is a little bit in the middle. And then that's the MVC helper.
Right.
Okay. So it's just easier to...
And it knows how to do challenge because it knows about the middleware that we plugged in earlier.
I'm actually going to be explicit with my parameters. So there is something called an authentication properties that I need to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the formatting of this never looks good. And then there's a second parameter that I need to pass. Oh, you know what I forgot? That's the other thing I forgot. I forgot to name this guy. We named the cookie middleware cookies.
Right.
I forgot to name the OpenID
Connect. So that we can refer to it later.
So we can refer to it. So this is also authentication scheme, and I'll call it OIDC. That's a common thing. Okay. So that's what I was missing in this other call.
So then when you say challenge, it will know which thing to challenge it with.
Exactly. So this knows to say, go to OpenID Connect rather than your local cookie redirect, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm noticing that you didn't just say challenge OIDC, you have to pass in some properties.
So, yes. So the last thing in the properties here is once we come back from the token server, it does all the protocol validation on that ID token.
Right.
It issues our local cookie.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take the user somewhere.
Ah.
And I want to take the user to the home page, this index page. So there's a redirect URI, /home/index, for example.
So if it succeeds, it goes there.
If it fails,
what happens?
If it fails, there's an exception that is thrown in the OpenID Connect middleware.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in that callback URL, the sign-in-OIDC.
And then we could deal with it there.
And there are actually even events. Yeah, so on the middleware, there are events you can handle for error scenarios.
All right.
Okay.
So if this succeeds at the end of the module, we will be able to look at the user. Will we be able to see their office?
Oh, yes. So the whole point here is that then the index action method,
if
the user is authenticated, what we can do is we'll have the user object.
Yeah, and we'll be able to see their office.
Exactly, and the user has a list of the claims.
Right.
These are the same claims that the token server had.
Cool.
Okay, so these are the key value pairs. So we'll say...
var x equals something.
And so on my view, what I'm doing here, my index page, is if the user is authenticated, what I'm doing is I'm looping...
Oh, there's your user.claims and your name value pairs.
I'm looping over these.
So we should see all the claims there, and if we do it right, office isn't there.
I hope so.
I think it's going to work.
So we go here.
And if it doesn't work, then it'll have valuable debugging that we'll learn
absolutely.
From.
Okay. So I'm going to trigger login. Oh, unauthorized client.
So you said MVC on both sides. Did we sure we named it the right thing?
So we went to the token server. We got an error, and that's why I told you we ran in the console so I can debug this. I knew I forgot something. So
requested scope not allowed profile.
Oh, yes. Silly me. Okay. So what's happening here is let's go back to our config. This actually is a good point to bring up.
It's better that it broke.
Yes. So in our config, I said, hey, this MVC app can ask for OpenID, email,
and
office.
Profile.
But not profile.
Which is the larger pile of stuff.
It's like, a bunch of names.
Kind
of like
something
that.
We need.
Yep. Yeah, it could be. But maybe I don't want to.
Oh, okay. So you can solve this in two ways.
Maybe I don't want. So yes, I could grant profile.
Right.
Okay. Now the tricky thing about this, which is a good learning point, is if we go back to the client app. Did I specify profile?
No.
No.
Did you specify something that implied profile?
The default constructor for this actually populates this automatically with OpenID and profile.
But you're overriding it, though.
No, this syntax in C# adds to the existing collection. So you
that
can,
is
you can go
not
talk,
intuitive.
You can go talk to the team about this one.
We
had a little bit of an argument with them
That's
about this.
That's interesting.
So yes, what's happening
I
is
would not have guessed that.
The constructor for this is adding to the collection, and this
so
is
that
a,
list,
appending to
that
the
is appends to the list. So how do you clear it?
You would have to put this into a into its own variable and
clear
explicitly
it out yourself.
Clear.
That is disappointing.
Yeah,
okay.
That is. I agree with you.
I think that's weird.
But we got vetoed on GitHub with that.
This would have been C# 7 years ago.
Yeah. So we could put profile in here. Well, that's actually redundant. So putting it in the MVC app is redundant because it automatically does it.
But the point would be, and a way I could have discovered that if I didn't know this, I could, like you say, squirrel away the new OpenID Connect options, look at the .scope and the watch window and go, huh,
yeah, exactly.
Why is profile in there?
And that's how I
And then
I'd
figure the behavior
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I figured that out.
Interesting.
Okay. So
good. That's a valuable debugging lesson.
Let's
right
go
there.
Back over here, and we'll add profile. We'll do the happy path to,
that's
to,
fine.
To get the demo working. Okay, but yeah, we talked about the way you could do it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, rerun identity server.
Cool.
And again, those logs were quite useful.
Yeah, they were. They told you exactly what
yes,
was wrong.
Yes, exactly. So now we're going to go back to my MVC app. Rerun my MVC app.
Yep. 25326.
Yeah. Hit login. Ooh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we've just want to point out, we went from the MVC app on 23.6, and now we're over on identity server, which
Absolutely.
Is giving us the login.
Yep.
So then you're be Alice or Bob.
Right. So so we now have to have the user log in. This is the thing that's customizable. Mm-hmm. What you do on this page, entirely up to you.
Right.
Okay? But we're going to do the simple, you know, Bob.
This is the default.
Did I do Alice or Bob? I forgot.
Alice, I
Alice had, a, had an office. So I'll pop in Alice here. Alice and Alice. Okay.
Okay.
Now, the next thing we're going to see is something that is the OpenID Connect specification is asking for.
Oh. And more users are getting used to this.
Yes, absolutely.
But you've got a blank checkbox.
So there are two things. Yeah, my blank checkbox, again, is a typo on my part.
Oh, is that's not okay. That's not the office, is it?
It is the office. And so what I neglected to do was when I defined office, guess what I forgot to do?
Some description.
Give it a display name.
Display
Your office.
I
info.
Like these little errors.
Yeah, yeah.
I've decided you're making those errors on purpose.
Okay.
Genius.
Yeah, I always forget these little things.
But that's how people learn, and that's why I
Absolutely.
Appreciate this.
So all I have to do is go back. The URL is still up in the browser.
Is it still valid?
I'm just going to refresh in there.
Look at that.
Okay. So I did restart identity server because it's the in-memory config.
And then I assume that there's something beyond display name, like description, that could give you that additional
information.
Yes,
so the one down
right
here
there.
is a larger description.
If
exactly.
I unchecked your office info and said yes, it would just be not in the list.
Correct. So this is what's called the consent screen. The consent screen is involving the user right before we go back to the app and making sure with them if it's okay for the token server that the user has a relationship with, right? The token server knows all this information about the user.
Right.
Is it okay for the token server to release this to this MVC app?
I really like these kind of things. More and more, you know, ever since like Facebook stopped trying to post on my behalf,
right.
I really like it when an app tells me what they want to know about me and what they're going to do with it.
Exactly. So this is an important part of the spec as well.
Okay, you have to show this.
Well, you don't always have to show it. So the reason for showing it is typically if the MVC app is third party to the token server.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in other words, you build an app and you're using Google to log in. Google and your app are from like two different companies.
I see.
Okay, now. In the case of identity server, we do support it, obviously, and it's the default.
Oh, but you're logging into yourself from yourself. It's
exactly.
Your own.
If the app you're building is from your company and the token server is your company's token server and it's your user database, you're already within a first-party trust boundary.
Okay.
So you can disable this.
So it'd be really up to you whether or not you want to give that user your respect or not.
Yep. And so in identity server, not that I'm going to do this, but I'll just show it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is another example of the flexibility identity server has, is that we have a require consent false. That you can just turn off for that particular client.
Nice.
Okay?
Okay.
This is client by client.
Right.
So you could have three of your internal apps where you disable it, but maybe a third party integrating with you, you leave it enabled.
Nice.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So now this should work. I hit yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom. And now
Thanks.
Here we are.
Where's
we are now logged
number?
In. So what's happening here is the protocol took that ID token.
Right.
Did all the validation, and it's full of some information about the protocol and the information about your user.
Right.
And by default, they're taking all of that and dumping it into your
claims. It's everything we know about them.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of things, like I said, about from the protocol here.
Yep.
If we scroll down, their subject.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the unique ID of the user.
Unique ID.
And we have their name and their given name. That was from profile. Office number came from our office scope.
Cool.
And there's email.
Okay. Look at that.
So we are now authenticated.
All right.
Okay.
I feel very happy about that.
It's a bit of a road to get there, but yeah.
But that's pretty powerful. So we just took Identity Server, we put it together, we put it in its own ASP.NET host, we came up with some claims, we did some custom claims, and now we have successfully logged in a user into our MVC app with Identity Server providing that secure token service. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with even more fun with Identity Server here on Microsoft Virtual Academy.